My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. Best day of the week.
Best day of the week, Kyle.
At least I think it is.
That's what Kyle says.
Yeah, because Friday's not a real day. Like, everybody, the vibes are always good on Friday. And on Thursday, everybody's just chilling. Thursday, it's like, yeah, you get over. Thursday, to me, is actually what Friday is.
I lost days of the week like 14 years ago when I started covering a professional basketball team. I don't even know what day of the week it is ever. I just know that I got to show up on Monday morning, and then it just kind of goes. And then one day I realize that it's Friday and that I don't have to go in the next day.
Great.
But then I could have basketball to go cover the next day. So it's right. Not like there are no days of the week.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then during the off season, you're just chill. It's just days.
Basketball. Yeah, the days just like.
There's a vacation in there.
Yeah.
It's just, it all mixes together.
Every day is, it's a day that I go out and work in the garden. That's what every day is.
We have the second half of the NBA season is here. We have Kings Spurs tonight. We will take a look ahead to that game, but then we will also have a big look ahead to the Kings second half. And this is a huge show for us, James.
Yeah.
Because we are taking this to 2:00.
Yeah, it's like a jumbo show.
Yeah, it's a double insiders. And I tried to just re-rack our first 2 hours. I said, can we do the first 2 hours and then we'll just play them back? And Charlie, our boss, said, absolutely not.
You got to sit in the chair.
You're fired. Charlie's fired me like 9 times in the last 3 days.
He also had already told you that he had your replacement, that he's already waiting, you know, like.
Yeah, I'm sick. I have the plague and I'm at home. I wasn't that sick. I'm being dramatic. I'm at home with the plague, and Charlie's like, don't worry about it. Don't come back. We got your replacement.
We're already interviewing for your replacement.
It's like, I got 4 people lined up.
Right. Amazing.
That's fine. So we will be taking you up to 2:00, and then D'Lo and Casey will be in here to do a 2-hour edition of their show.
Yeah. I think they're just trying to take it easy. Hours. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it's going to be head down the rest of the way. You know, they're getting geared up for the second half. They're doing deep research. They're grinding tape. They are reading stats. They are neck deep in league pass right now. Whatever the all-22 version of NBA games is, the all-10,
okay,
that's what they're watching.
Well, that makes sense. You know, they've got to get, they have to raise their saturation level.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. K, Kenny's also, while he's doing that, he's got some college hoops on in the background.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he's just multitasking and doing all this while we're sitting here on a radio show.
Every year, right about this time, late February, I'm like, this is the year I'm tapping in early to college basketball. So when March Madness comes around and bracket time comes up, I have a little bit of, because I did that one year in college. It was my first year of college. I had nothing going on, right? And so I would just have on, it, me and my roommate, who's a big sports fan, we're still friends to this day. We would just have ESPN on. That's just what was on, just all the time. Just the same sports center four times in a row. Like we were those people. And I watched this game. It happened to be Cleveland State. And this is 2009. This is February or March, February of 2009. And Cleveland State beat somebody. And they just looked really good in this random game I happened to be watching.
Okay.
And when the tournament came around, they were the Fiend against Wake Forest, who was the 4. I think it was a 13-4.
Okay.
And I was like, I watched Cleveland State one time, and man, they are hecka good. I'm picking the upset. One. And I was like, I'm a genius. I've figured out brackets. But guess what? I'm watching no college basketball. I'm lying to you if I'm like, yeah, I'm going to grind some college basketball.
Okay, as someone who's covered the draft forever. Right. I've talked about this before. I started my first draft Bible in like 1998, just before that. 96, 98, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Whatever year Zydrunas Ilgauskas was coming in the draft, I built out a draft Bible. Mm-hmm. And I, like, a Daisy Penwheel printer. I printed out every page of I researched every player from, you know, probably had 80 prospects, and I had a stack like this big, like in a binder. I three hole punched.
Oh, incredible.
It, and I had a D-ring binder so the pages wouldn't get messed up. And I built out, and then I continued to do that. Like, I studied the draft forever.
Yeah.
And I think the worst thing that you can do, I like, people might like completely flame me for this, but the worst thing you can do is watch too much of a player in a college level, because what you end up doing is you see them play against like some team. They're just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But the team has no defender. They have no one that can stop them. They don't, or they're a run and gun style, like whatever. So you get infatuated. You fall in love with players way too easy. And so for me, it's easier to go back when I'm doing draft prep. And I'll watch some games, but a lot of time what I'll do is I'll watch body mechanics. I'll watch shooting mechanics.
Sure.
I'll watch, I'll look into all their advanced statistics. But, you know, I like to more see the player and see how they move and see.
Get a vibe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think you can do that a lot better if you don't have this giant idea of who they were against. Like
Alcorn State
or North Dakota State on a Tuesday back in November, and you get all like, oh my gosh, this kid's going to be incredible. And then you watch him play against like some big time college players, and you're like, oh, that's not going to work.
And they're just very generic.
Yes. Yeah.
I get caught up. I get in with NBA draft stuff. It's weird because with NFL draft stuff, and we'll talk about the Kings second half here coming up, but with NFL draft stuff, I nitpick like crazy. Every time I watch an NFL player as I'm preparing for the draft, and I don't do like a full, I go and I look at where the Niners are picking players who might be available in that range, and I go and I deep dive, you know, that those players, positions I think the Niners need, this and that. And I will find every reason to be like, yeah, this guy isn't good because of X, Y, and Z. Versus in the NBA, I'm going to do any kind of deep dive, but I have a general idea, especially like of the top players, especially the guys who are really good in the tournament, things like that. And all I see is ceiling. I'm so bad. Every player, I'm like, that guy's going to be awesome. Every player in the draft, every top 25 guy, I'm like, yeah, I can see it. Like, I'm in.
Oh,
it's just, it's very, very, it's the same process, but a very different approach for your boy.
Well, I get that. And then I would say the other element that when you're going through and doing draft prep, like, I do have places that I can go, people that I can talk to give me more insight into a player, especially if you're talking about top 10, you know, Kings are in the top 10 forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got ties where I can reach out and someone say, okay, look, like, no, this isn't a guy you want to run your program.
Yeah.
Or, hey, this is one of the best kids ever. Mm-hmm. You know, like the stuff with Scoot Henderson coming out of like the G League Ignite was like, my goodness, like the nicest kid of all time and such a hard worker, and he's going to be a beast. He could take a little while to get there, but which we're seeing, but he's going to be like excellent. Yeah. And so those are things that you try to tie in, but then you hear bad stuff about kids, and you know, you hear things coming out of the, like the combine about, you know, interviews or like, but lots of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said on the show, like there was a player that someone said, told me, well, like we had like five different teams interview him and every single one of them came away thinking that he was racist. And I'm like, what do you mean racist? They're like, he like said things in his interviews that came across very, very poorly. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's like really
wild.
Yeah, just wild. And you're like, okay. And you know, like sometimes these things play out once they get to the pros and sometimes they just go away. Mm-hmm. You know, the story on Anthony Edwards. Well, okay, he doesn't take anything serious. Like he's not going to ever be able to get to the next level because he doesn't seem to care enough. Mm-hmm. And he thinks everything's a joke. And that's just his mechanisms for coping. And he's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's interesting. I also like to compare players, like the way they move to other players.
Yeah. Player comps are fun.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about, especially in the NFL, so Danny Kelly, who's been on the show before, he's mm-hmm. a fantasy analyst, but he also does draft stuff for The Ringer. And when he does comps, he does like, not like they're funny, mm-hmm. but they're not direct player to player comps. It'll be like shades of this guy with, you know, go-go gadget arms or something, you know, that kind of silly comparison. My favorite thing with comps is when people are like, well, this guy is, he's like LeBron James. No, he's 6'8 and he can move a little. That does not mean he's LeBron. Like, let's relax.
No.
Like, chances are that player is going to be somebody very mid or worse.
Yes.
So find me mid or worse. Be like, this guy is Ramon Sessions. Like, okay, I get it now. I totally get it. No shade at Ramon Sessions. He's just a random player that always comes into my head.
Former Kings.
Good player. Good career. Good player. But not Hall of Famer. That's what I was going for.
He was not very effective or impactful as a Sacramento King. For whatever reason, he came to Sacramento and like it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why, but it didn't seem to work at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of those many players.
All right. So here's what we're going to do for the Kings second half. We're going to look ahead to Kings Spurs tonight.
Okay.
We're going to take a look at the Western Conference as a whole because it is nuts right now. 4-8 in the West is separated by 4.5 games.
Hmm.
That it's going to be crazy.
That's
so we're going to dive into the West. We will talk about the 49ers potentially closing out on a defensive coordinator hire.
Oh.
I've been busy all morning, so if that happened this morning, I missed it.
Okay.
We'll talk about Domantas Sabonis being doubtful. We've got a 5-game stretch coming up for the Kings. We're going to do that throughout the second half. We're going to take a look at these 5-game stretches because you mentioned yesterday that's how Mike Brown breaks up the season.
Uh-huh.
And so for these next 28, we have 5 5-game stretches and then a 3-game sprint to the end. So we're going to do that. Throughout this show, we're going to look at each 5-game stretch. What do we want to see from it? What did we see from it? And we'll go through it like that. And then we will have keys to a Kings second half. We always give you keys to a Kings victory before each game. We're just going to go through and talk about things we need to see in the second half. We'll be doing that throughout the show as well. So a ton of Kings stuff coming up for you. It feels like a new season. This genuinely feels like, okay, restart. The first half was fine. It wasn't a disaster, but it wasn't what we hoped. Like, okay, now let's get serious. That's how this feels to me.
Yeah, I totally get that. It does feel like it's like almost like a rebirth. Like you get some sort of new adventure here that we're going to, like, the journey of 28 games and like what it looks like, you know, how a team handles the sprint to the finish.
I kind of feel like I'm being suckered in, and we can talk about this because we got a break here in a second, but I feel like I'm being suckered in a little bit where my hopes and my vision for where the Kings are going in the next 28 games is I have a very high opinion of what they can do in these next 28.
Okay.
But I feel like that's based on maybe my preseason thoughts about this team and not what we've seen through the 54-game sample.
Interesting.
I feel like I might be getting bamboozled a little bit. We'll talk about that. Coming up next, we're the Insiders, hanging out with you till 2 today. 10 to 2, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, you're welcome, stream. You just got that music because I forgot to take it out. That's fine.
I enjoyed it, Kyle.
Yeah. A little Stray Kids, God's Menu. You're welcome.
There we go. It is weird when I don't hear anything.
You didn't hear that rejoin?
No, I did that
time.
Oh,
okay, good. Woo!
But like, I didn't hear the intro in the beginning.
Yeah, so you should have just heard it just now.
I did.
Okay, great. But so that's the change in workflow for me.
Yes.
Is you will hear that. I'm just hitting the wrong buttons.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why James doesn't touch buttons.
We're working through some new stuff in the studio. We appreciate everybody hanging with us. Whether you're on ESPN 1320, maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app, which we highly encourage you to do if you cannot be listening on the radio. And shout out to everybody in the chatty house on youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. I think I'm being bamboozled by the Kings a little.
Mm.
And I think by you, honestly.
I don't make the news. I just report the news.
So you went to practice a couple days ago.
Yep.
Came back and you're like, man, vibes are good. They know what they got to do with the 3-point defense. They know they're mentally rested, physically rested, a little banged up here and there. Everything's good to go. They're rolling. And I'm just like, all right, I'm buying back in. I've been pretty out for the most part because I just don't, the lack of competitiveness has been too common. And the the inability to close games, the letting go of the rope, it all felt very negative all year.
Okay.
And then they finally get a really good win against the Nuggets to close the first half. And it's like, man, that's kind of what you expected from Sacramento this year, was the ability to go into Denver second night of a back-to-back and pull out a game like that. And now they're 3-0 against Denver this year?
Yes.
And that's huge. So I felt great about that. But the more we sit here and talk about it, and the more we look at these next five games, Spurs at Clippers, Heat at Nuggets at Timberwolves, it's like, man, we have 54 games of evidence that this year's team is just kind of what it is.
Well,
and
yeah,
there's not some huge turnaround coming.
Yeah, but I think the question that we have to ask is what they are.
But that's the problem, is the fact that we're sitting here on February 22nd and we're like, don't know what this team is really.
No, I mean, that's really difficult because we look at let's just isolate this four games, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that there should be one blowout win, one blowout loss, a really good, highly contested game that the Kings win, and a highly contested game that the Kings lose.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go 2-2. That's what, when you look at these four, and the problem that we have, Kyle, is that they could get blown out by the Spurs, blow out the Timberwolves, have a highly competitive game and lose to the Clippers, and a highly competitive game that they win against the Miami Heat.
And then the Nuggets are in there too, where you're at Denver.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I think that's a little bit the problem.
Yeah, we have no idea. Yeah.
But it's not... We're supposed to have an idea, though. This was supposed to be, oh, they're running it back. This will just look like last year's team. And it hasn't, but I think there's still part of me that's hanging on to that. Because before the year, I'm going, yeah, hey, they should be able to win 53, 54 games, be in that range.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, things kind of click and they go right. And they just haven't. But I think I'm still anchoring to that, instead of looking at what we have and the fact that you look at these next five and you go, yeah, can they go 3-2 in their next five in a stretch that includes at Clippers, at Nuggets, at Timberwolves, three of the top four teams in the West?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure. They could win all three of those games, but they could also in this same stretch go 2-3 and lose to the Spurs and lose to the Heat and beat Denver for a fourth time. You know, it just...
Yeah.
That's a problem for me.
Well,
that I don't know what they are.
I think more than a problem for you, Kyle, it's a problem for them. Because,
well, yeah.
But because that's a reality of who they are as an NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's one thing as people who watch them, who cover them, who talk about them on the radio, to be confused with who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other thing for an NBA team to not be able to show an identity through 50 games.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. And so we all think that there could be like this epiphany moment where just all, like, all of a sudden they look like the Kings of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And De'Aaron Fox was just slow playing it for 6 weeks.
Sure.
And now he's ready to run you over. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be the, you know, a top five player in the NBA in the second half or in the final 28 games. Like, all of these things are possible. But the mm-hmm. problem is we don't know. And there's no way for us to predict that. And it's not even like this next stretch, right? Again, Spurs, Clippers, Heat, Nuggets, Timberwolves. Those five games, right? If they make it through that and they're 2-3, that's okay. It's a tough stretch, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the next stretch where you're playing the Bulls, the Lakers, the Spurs, the Rockets, the Bucks, the Lakers again, the Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Wizards, Orlando. Like that group of like 10 games right there that they can't slip up. If they do the same thing, if they go 4-6 or 5-5, like their season's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're a play-in team for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably all they are.
Yeah.
They're a play-in team that's going to get bounced quickly and there won't be an extended playoff run or maybe even a playoff run at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to see how they play. We have to see if they have this moment where it all of a sudden looks like the Sacramento Kings.
And we'll talk about what they have to do differently, but securing to Bagley in the chatty house. And that's shout out to Securing DeBagley for sticking with that name.
Yeah.
That's incredible work by them. Did they not know they were bad at three-point defense before the break? And that's what I was saying a little bit ago was, hey, maybe they figured this out now that they've had the break to kind of sit and get this. But that's kind of my problem is this point that they bring up, that did they not know this before the break? Like, they did. And it's just maybe it's just not there. Like, maybe they're just going to be 8 or 9 over, and that's just...
That's who they are. They just team. Get stuck. They're like a 45 win team.
Yeah, and their 3-point defense is going to be bad, and they're going to have these stretches from De'Aaron Fox where he's an MVP caliber player for a couple games, and then he'll be just okay for a couple of games, and then you'll get 5 points from Keegan Murray for 6 straight up, and then there's 30 from him, and then there's Harrison. I don't, and this is, I guess, what we're going to try and hash out today. It feels like this turnaround that I'm trying to anticipate is fictional. It's just made up based on what should happen. Like, yeah, De'Aaron Fox should be playing like an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And Domantas Sabonis too. And that he's been just such a constant that he doesn't get involved here in this conversation.
Yeah.
But it's like Keegan Murray should be taking this step forward. And Harrison Barnes should be figuring out how to be productive while also letting Keegan Murray take this step forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this like it should. But that's been the case since October.
Yep.
And now we're here in February.
Yeah.
And I think I'm bamboozling myself into thinking like, yeah, they'll just go 20-8.
Yeah. You go 20-8 and you're in.
Big time.
You're going to be a 5
by
seed.
By a lot.
You're going to be a 4 or 5 seed. Yeah, and I would point out, too, like, the 3-point defense thing, it really became, like, glaring starting, like, on January 1st, around the beginning of January. And I know when they got back from the trip where they played Cleveland, and Cleveland's not a horrible 3-point shooting team, I don't think, but the fact that Cleveland hit 23 threes against them, when they got back into town, that's when I asked Mike during pregame about it. And he started breaking down all these things. And then the next day at practice, he started, throwing people around in practice, like in the media scrum, like showing what he's looking for and all this stuff. That's when it starts to open up like, hey, there's a problem here. And it only gets worse from there. And my point is that when you're in the middle of a season, it is very difficult to right a wrong on the fly, to fix something as dramatic as this is something that's gone so far astray that you have to reset what you're doing and like get back to the basics with your players and make sure that they understand the basic concepts. And then maybe there are some conceptual things that you can schematic things that you can start working through and building on. But like, I feel like it's something that popped up and all of a sudden got out of control so fast that it wasn't just like they weren't allowing 39.7% in December, and then all of a sudden they're allowing like 48% over a 6-week
really
stretch,
bad.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. So that's why the All-Star break is a big deal. That's why like pulling back and giving yourself a minute to really examine what's happening and then get back to the drawing board as a coaching staff and then sit down with your team and have some heart-to-hearts, and you're coming out of the break refreshed with a new mindset of how you're going to attack one specific thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one good thing I would point out about this final 28 games is that the Kings have a very small grouping of things that they know that they have to get better at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're going to attack. It's not a global, holy cow, we're not very good. How do we fix this?
Mm-hmm. Over that 3-point defense that you just brought up, 36.2% in October. That was just 3 games.
Yep.
November, 38.3. December, 36.9. January, 42.7. February, 42.7.
Ugh.
Consecutive months allowing teams to shoot 43% from beyond the arc.
Wild.
That's hard to do.
Yep.
All right. You know what's not hard to do is go to break. So we're going to do that now. We talked a lot about identity just now. What is the Kings' identity and how do they get there? Let's talk about that next on The Insiders. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're back. We're still figuring out workflow. It's fine. So you can't hear the music, because if you hear the music, the stream hears the music. And if the stream hears the music, we might get dinged for, like, copyright violations.
Violating things.
Right.
Yes.
So that's the goal to not do. So I'm slowly working through this and figuring out the best way to make sure that this is all on the up and up.
Okay.
Hey, so if you're not familiar with this bit, I'm going to the Kings game tonight. Mostly because of Victor Wembanyama. I would like to go see him in person.
Yep.
And if you're not... I don't live in Sacramento yet, so I don't. For me to go to a game and then be back out here by 5 a.m. is like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to like jump through hoops to make sure I'm able to go to a game. So I was like, hey, I'm going to jump through some hoops because Victor Wembanyama is in town, and I'm making sure I'm there. The problem is if I go to a Kings game and stay the whole time, they don't win.
Yeah, we do have this problem.
Like, literally, the every time I leave at halftime, no matter what the score is, yeah, Kings win. I stay. The Pistons. We talked about this when they played the Pistons at home. I was like, I'm going tonight, and I'm staying the whole time. Because, dang it, it's the Pistons. They're winning this one. And then they lose by, like, a lot. They lost by double digits.
They did, and I blamed you completely.
As you should.
I think it was your fault.
Right. And so, but now I'm jumping through all these hoops to make sure that I'm out here. And so I was in last Friday.
Okay.
I was in West Sac. I was out at Drake's.
Yep.
Or Drake's Barn. And the Kings won. I saw the beam in person for the first time. But I've never been in the building when it gets lit. I don't get to see the whole show. Yeah, okay. I've seen a video of it. You showed me a video of it. But I've never gotten to be there for the whole... what's the word I'm looking for?
Pageantry.
Pageantry. Thank you.
Yes. It's glorious, Kyle. It's glorious.
I'm sure it's sick, and I really want to see it. But also, I'm an extremely superstitious person.
Yep. Because we're baseball fans. We're superstitious.
Right. Not a little stitious. And so if I leave at halftime, I now have to go figure out what to do for the second half of the game. And do I stay in Doko?
Go to the watch bar.
Do I go to Tom's Watch Bar? Shout out.
Yeah.
Do I go to Sauced? Do I go to wherever wants to sponsor the program?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what you should do.
If you want to sponsor the show and be the place that I catch the end of Kings games, because I'm not allowed to stay the whole time. So I'm going to try it again tonight. I'm going to try and stay the whole time.
Okay.
If they lose tonight, now granted, it looks like Domas is going to play. He's doubtful.
He's doubtful.
With an illness. If they lose tonight, I just may not be able to like do this again. Like at that point, it's real.
It's like a real thing.
Oh boy.
It becomes like Wade Boggs and chicken wings.
Maybe I'll try, what?
Wade Boggs had chicken wings before every game ever.
And that was just his thing?
That was his thing. Wade Boggs and chicken wings? You've never heard this?
Never heard this. Like, I've heard of Wade Boggs and drinking.
This is one of the great superstitions. He had to have his chicken wings before every game. Wade Boggs.
Huh.
Like 300 hitter.
Yeah, really, really good. Really
third
good
baseman, hitter. Yeah.
Claimed he could foul pitches off on purpose.
Oh, I'm sure he could.
All because of the chicken wings.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the vibe. Maybe I need to eat chicken wings before I go in.
Maybe that's what we try to break the curse by Kyle's chicken wings.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
But then every game, you have to have chicken wings.
That'd be fine. I could eat wings every single day of my life, bro.
We figured this thing out. We have figured it out.
I don't even care where.
Yeah.
No, and it's like, I think what I'm going to do is if maybe I'll plan to stay the whole time and we'll see how some things go. And maybe I'll try and exit and watch the end at Doko and watch somewhere there.
Well, but if it's like a 20-point game and like you can stay.
If they're controlling it?
Yeah, we have to like...
Okay. So here, the Spurs are up. Kings are up 20 at the half. Spurs come out in the first 4 minutes and go on like a 15-2 run. Do I bounce?
Probably.
Do I have to leave?
I think you do.
Okay.
I think we'll have to play at like... We can go by feel, and I can just look at you and say, Kyle, it's time for you to leave.
Just, it's time to go.
Kyle.
Six quick thoughts.
Time to go.
Tink played fine, but this jerk.
Six quick thoughts. One, Kyle had to leave. That's right. Kick you out, Kyle. That's what we'll do.
Mondo says, wear a wig so superstition doesn't notice me. That's a great idea.
Oh.
Sal is requesting that Sal is going to the game.
Okay.
He's requesting I buy him a beer for making the team lose.
Okay.
Which, maybe. Find me at the in the draft house. What else? There was one more in here. Scooter 916 says I can't stay because the Kings can't afford to lose.
Okay.
And I kind of see that. Honestly, I kind of agree.
If like, you're a Jinx and you got to go, I mean, I understand that.
No, I'm going to try it one more time tonight.
Okay.
Unless Domas isn't playing and it's like tight at halftime, I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I will figure my life out.
Okay.
I will not be the reason.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, Domas, like the illness thing popped up out of nowhere like yesterday.
Yeah, he wasn't at practice.
Right? Yeah, he wasn't at practice. And again, he was doubtful as of last night. We'll see what it looks like today. I know, like, while I was on with Kenny and Damian yesterday, we thought that Fox was going to be questionable or a game time decision as well. And then he did not appear on the injury report. So it appears that Fox is A-OK.
What an odd thing.
Yeah, the only other players out is Sasha Vezinkov. And of course, he did send Colby Jones to Stockton today. Yep. There's Boom. Your guy. There's your guy.
Trash. Bebe wants to know if they can have my seat if I leave. That's up to James. That's up to James and the guy checking
the
credentials.
Media credential guy would be like, "Hey, who's that?" I'll be like, "It's Bebe.
It's that's Bebe from the chat." That's you don't know them?
It's Bebe's keys.
Bebe, they're in here. Sit there and watch hoop with James. It's a really fun time. Yeah. A lot of prize picks action.
A lot of prize pick action.
I'm just in there. I'm like, this foot on the line? And a three? Come on. I need a rebound.
Keegan
Shout
Murray
out to
dunk.
Prize picks too.
That's right.
Oh, you love the Keegan Murray dunk.
Keegan Murray dunk.
There's nothing worse than Prize Picks. Daily Fantasy Sports, by the way. If somebody's listening to this who's in sales and would like to cut this and send this to them,
yeah,
feel free. Prize Picks. Daily Fantasy Sports, you pick 2 to 6 players. It's a statistical projection. You pick more or less on that stat projection.
Yep.
And then you watch the winnings rolling. So there's nothing worse than when you have the more on De'Aaron Fox points and it's 26.5.
Yeah.
And he has 26. And they inbounded to him late. Kings are up 5 with 20 seconds left. Team's going to play the foul game. They foul him, send to the line. You're like, bang. 2 free throws. Let's take this home. And then he misses both. And he doesn't go to the...
I mean, you know how much I lost on the one...
I wasn't gonna call you out specifically, but if you're going to own it...
I mean, he finished with 29, and he needed 29.5. If he gets... And then he gets fouled in the key, and they don't send him to the line. And I'm like, what's happening? Then he steals a ball to end the game against the Golden State Warriors, steals a ball from Steph, and then, like, he doesn't go down and score. He just went down and, like, threw the ball up in the air, and the Kings win, right?
Oh.
I needed 0.5 of a point to win $2,000, which on a $20 bet, like, what in the...
That's so brutal.
It's not a bet. It's a play. By the way.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's not.
It's not a bet. Yeah,
it's not gambling.
It
it's
was not gambling.
Sports.
No. Yeah, it was a bad beat. It was a bad.
It
beat.
Was really tough.
I
sent me that. I was like, no.
I still came away with 200 from that night. But yeah,
that was tough. We love prize picks. What's your? Never mind. Listen to the Kings Beat podcast for James's code.
Yeah, there we go.
And get your first deposit match up to $100.
Kings Beat.
Kings Identity. We just talked about that a lot in the last segment. We talked all about how this team doesn't really have one. Last year it was high octane offense. They weren't going to play a ton of defense. But it was really hard. It was really difficult to outscore them anyway.
Yep.
And you knew on a night in, night out basis, that's the Kings you were going to get, for the most part.
Almost every single night. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, very few games did they
just
not
total
show
stinkers. Yeah. this year has been kind of the opposite, where you might get that version of the Kings that's going to go into Minnesota on the fifth night of a road trip.
Yeah.
That's the fifth game on a road trip, and go into Minnesota and win that one, but then come home and lose to Charlotte, a shorthanded Charlotte team.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just been kind of the pattern all year. So what do you, James, believe if you were to sit down with the team? I know this wouldn't happen, but if Mike Brown said, hey, get in here, what should our identity be? What would you tell
them? Well, I would tell them that it doesn't matter what it should be, that they have to find whatever it is. Because my problem isn't so much that they aren't living up to an identity or something. Mm-hmm. It's that they don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, it was so defined. And I would even say last year's identity, I wouldn't even say was just that they're offensive juggernaut. And that's their identity. Their identity was that they were gritty and they showed up every single game. And they never let off the gas.
Yep.
And they had like two games that we can circle on this whole schedule where you're like, okay, what happened here? But outside of that, they were so consistently good. Win or lose, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
And if they got beat, they got beat. But they got beat playing all the way down to the wire, and it was a great game.
Yeah,
that just doesn't exist this year, where you're left wanting at all times, thinking like, who are you, and how do we find you, and how do you define who you are? Because that might be the better question. Not to have me tell them who they should be, but for them to convince me that they can be this or that. You know, like, go ahead and tell me what you think your identity is and who you need to be and who you're going to be in the final 28 games. I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe we'll ask this of Mike Brown in pregame. Like, what is it that you want your identity to be in the final 28 games?
And the thing is that may be where the disconnect is. Because I'm guessing Mike Brown would tell you a fast-paced offensive team, move the ball offense, and then a tough, gritty defensive team that creates offense out of their defense. But it's just like they're not going to be that. I just don't think they have the dudes defensively to be that team that he wants them to be. And I think that's where kind of you're going to see this roster go. As they add size and they add athleticism, particularly on the wings, I think that may be the trend a little bit, where you see them build specifically, and you talked about this yesterday, and I think it was a great point, where you're building your roster around De'Aaron Fox is your number one dude on offense. Domantas Sabonis is your number two dude on offense. Keegan Murray is the third guy. Malik Monk's there off the bench. Everybody else is tertiary. Everybody else is knock down a corner three if it's there. Every once in a while, it may be, hey, somebody's in foul trouble, you got to come in and contribute a little more offensively. But on a night-in, night-out basis, it needs to be, that's their offense. It's De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, Malik Monk, and everybody else is that gritty defensive stopper that Mike Brown wants. And I think De'Aaron can be both. I think Keegan Murray can be both. And that's a nice foundation, but you need more than that.
Yeah.
I think for the rest of this year, zooming into what this roster is, if I'm Mike Brown, I'm sitting there going, you know what? Go try and catch, I think it's Boston is number one in offensive rating. Go try and catch them.
Okay.
Go out and just score. If it's 145, 135 every game, fine. But I think that's how the best version of this team, I think that's what it's going to be. Is one that, hey, just go put the ball in the hoop and figure that out. That's what I would prioritize first, is figuring out what to do offensively to fix whatever the heck has been going on, where they're so up and down, and figuring out what they're doing defensively in the offseason, because I think that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. I mean, for this team right now to be, and I don't buy what they sell. What they keep saying is like, look, we're not that far off of who we were last year. And that's just not the case. Last year they finished the season, I think it was 118.2 was their offensive rating. This year they're 116.6. And I hear a lot of this from them. Like, hey, the league has caught up to us a little bit. Other teams are doing some of the things we were doing last year. They're pushing the tempo. They're doing all this stuff. Like, look, the Kings offense right now is 14th in the league. That's not acceptable. And it's not because they're a bad shooting team. It's just because they're not playing the same pace, the same speed, the same energy that they did last year. So, so Kyle, I get what you're saying. Like, go out there and be the team that you were last year. I just don't know that it's there.
Okay, but why?
Well, it's a good question because I'm not sure. You're watching them play and just something like whether they mixed too many things up schematically or whatever, but you know, they have these rules. Like you need to, it's not just that you need to set a good screen, it's that you need to cut hard and you need to cut with purpose, right? So if you're gonna do a back cut, like it needs to be like really quick, really active, and like, hey, let's go, right? Well, last year we got to this point in the season where they kept doing this, and I think again, Harrison Barnes talks about this. He does a lot of things that people aren't even watching. He's like, how many times I do like a really, really fast cut and it clears out space and De'Aaron's able to get around the corner. Domas is able to, you know, set a screen and clear out somebody, all these things, right? But where is the moment where the offense, I think this is probably my problem that I have with what I've seen. It's that the offense was supposed to organically grow from what it was last year. And that's easy to do. You have an offense, it's moving, it's going quite quick. It's going, you're having all these pieces moving all over the place. Well, year two not have been scrap part of the offense. It should have been adding the new wrinkle to the wrinkle to the wrinkle, right? So we saw it for one game, they ran the same play like five times in a row, where Harrison Barnes has been cutting all night long but not getting any passes. All of a sudden, he stopped in the middle of the key, put his hands up. They kept feeding him right over the top for a wide-open layup. Where is that play? Where is the play that comes off of that play, which is Harrison Barnes gets it, everyone collapses, Harrison Barnes fires it to the corner three for a wide-open look? Like, all of those things we haven't seen the organic growth, which is, it's really weird because that's not how... It's not how a basketball team usually develops. What happened with the Kings is it's almost like they're like a 6'10", like 5-year-old, and then they kept getting shorter because that's what it feels like. It's like they aren't who they were, and it's less and less and less of who they were. And so I definitely think that they're going to have to figure it out, that they're going to have to like – get down to the nitty gritty of what it is that happened to their offense and how they, but I think the best thing to do is to push the tempo, fly around the court, try to find that rhythm of who you were last year. And then again, start building off of that. And the defensive side of the ball, these things can be separate. You can be,
no doubt.
You can improve on the defensive side of the ball without giving up the offensive side. It just might mean that De'Aaron Fox can't play 36 minutes. He's got to play 33 or 32.
Right.
That somebody else has to step up and in his place play the same tempo, do the things that he's doing without being a 30-point-per-game guy. And the same thing with some of their other players that are playing huge minutes.
Do you think there's any... This is something that I keep coming back to, and I don't... It's not like quantifiable, but do you think there's been... I know that you just talked about schematic stuff, but it is okay. Keegan Murray needs to take a step forward, so he needs to be more involved. And also, De'Aaron is playing like an MVP candidate. But hang on, hit the brakes a little bit on that because we need to get Keegan Murray involved, and then everything's also running through Domas. And now, hang on, we need to get Kevin Huerter going. He's not hitting his shots, and now we need to get Kevin Huerter going. And then Malik Monk is on the floor, and hey, all right, he's going to be the driver when he's on. Do you think that it's almost like too many cooks where there's not... It doesn't feel like there's defined roles necessarily. It's like everything is too... Yeah, hey, everybody come in and just kind of float around, and everybody will be involved, and some nights you'll get 18 shots, and some nights you'll get 6, but everything's cool because the offense is... I think there needs to be a more established... hierarchy of who is doing what offensively.
Yeah, I mean, probably. You're probably right. And then I'd also point out that, like, when we talk about, like, Malik Monk. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk in a, like, real functional basketball is better. he himself is better with JaVale McGee.
Mm-hmm.
The team is not.
Mm-hmm.
The team is better with Alex Len.
Yeah.
And then we talk about, you know, like, so there's these things where you're trying to balance, like, how you grow as a team, but how you highlight individual play.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, you talked about the, like, let's get Keegan Murray more involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Keegan Murray starts getting a lot of those plays at the top of the key where mm-hmm. he's coming off a high DHO, a dribble handoff, mm-hmm. and setting a screen. Demonis sets a screen but also hands it to Keegan. Last year it was Kevin Huerter doing that play, and Kevin Huerter rounds the corner and travels on the play like a good 10 feet away from Domas.
He gets horizontal.
He gets like this huge amount of space, mm-hmm. which draws everybody over, and then he's shooting this shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what Keegan does. Keegan comes off the screen, turns around right next to Domas, and fires.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there are different ways that they're doing the same exact play,
mm-hmm.
but that's how individual players work. Like, that's
where, so you have drawn that up for me before.
Yes.
And the question for me is, why doesn't Keegan just do it like Kevin Huerter does? If that's what makes the offense more effective, it seems like it would be pretty easy to be like, hey, bro, when you take this handoff, don't plant your feet in a little C shape and shoot it right there where you now have two defenders and Sabonis doesn't have an opportunity to get into space. You need to take it and get wide. You need to make that like a, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
first base, when you turn it first, you make the banana shape.
Yeah.
You make that shape and get out wide, and that's going to open things up offensively. Why doesn't that just happen?
Okay.
It's probably easier said than done, but...
Well, yeah, but I can answer that because that's not who Keegan is. And that you might go, well, okay, but maybe that's who he has to be. It's like...
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
But,
you nailed it.
Okay, but how many times did Klay dribble the basketball, Klay Thompson, when he scored 60 points?
Like 11.
Okay. And how many times do you think Steph Curry dribbles the basketball when he scored 60?
Way more than that.
400.
Yeah.
Probably, right?
A lot of times.
Like, there's different styles of players. And you can't ask Klay Klay is going to do the same thing that Keegan Murray does. He might get a little bit wider,
mm-hmm.
but what Kevin Huerter does is just different. And so...
So why run the play for Keegan at all?
Well, because you need that guy to be... To continue to grow and to be the player that you want him to be, if this team is going to take the step in year three and year four. Again, this isn't about building a playoff run for 1 year. It's about building a playoff, like a dynasty of playoff runs, you know?
Sure.
Like, whether you're going to be a championship contender or not, we don't know yet. It depends on how the ceiling of some of your players develop. But for right now, you know, what Keegan Murray needs to be, he's not yet. And he's growing into that player, but then at the same time, he becomes this defensive juggernaut, and
sure.
and he doesn't have the legs either, because he's playing all this crazy defense. He's defending mm-hmm. guards. He's defending point guards. He's defending everybody.
So do we have to recalibrate what Keegan Murray's role is going to be then? Because if that's, to me, that says, hey, if he's going to be this awesome defender who's going to make life difficult on the best guard or wing on the other team, and he's just going to not be an afterthought offensively, but be more of a catch-and-shoot guy. Where, hey, now he's hanging out in the corner, and he's going to blaze away from three. He'll create a little bit, but his role is largely going to be this kind of secondary or tertiary scorer on the perimeter instead of this, hey, get him the ball, he's going to create, he's going to get in the post, he's going to do all these things offensively. Like, that to me means you just need to recalibrate what you think Keegan Murray is, or is the best way he's going to help your team.
Well, but I think that's the problem. It's that you're looking at, can Keegan Murray be both of those things? But can he be both of those things 2 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because let's be honest.
Sure. Like,
Chris Middleton has been a great defender for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not anymore. He's solid, but he's not as good as he was.
He's been hurt a lot.
Yeah, but like there was a period of time where he was great on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson, great on mm-hmm. both ends of the floor. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is the guy, right?
But go ahead. Sorry. Keep going.
Well, my point is that those guys have figured out a way to balance being a great scorer and a great defensive player. The problem that I think, in all honesty, that the Kings have, it's that it's Keegan Murray and who else?
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't a moment where you can say, hey, Keegan, you just got hot, and you know, player X, we're going to need you to go defend a couple of players on a few possessions in a row to give Keegan a break on the defensive end. They don't have that player.
Sure.
They don't have somebody else that can step into Keegan's role and allow Keegan to go be the offensive player. So I think the answer, Kyle, is that it's about balance and you got to figure it out slowly. But I also think that if you look at Keegan Murray as a set shooter in the corner versus Keegan Murray running off multiple screens and coming off the top and trying to do what Kevin Huerter does, a lot more energy is expelled doing that.
Sure.
A lot more energy is expelled by him getting the ball at the top of the key and then racing to the basket and making whatever move he's got than him standing in the corner. So you might need to figure out a way to, again, invert your offensive players for a couple of possessions to give him a break, to allow him not to be that guy. And same thing with Fox. When Fox is cooking, you probably need somebody else to step up and play defense and allow him to keep cooking, because he is he's putting so much energy out on one end of the floor that you have to be cognizant of that. And you hope that he can get to a point where he can play full bore for, you know, every minute he's on the court. But that's not a reality in today's NBA.
I want to keep going with this Keegan Murray thing, because you brought up the Klay Thompson, Chris Middleton comparison as two-way players. And with Keegan's importance to the Kings in the second half, if they're going to make some kind of run, I want to focus on that as we continue looking ahead to the second half of the Kings season, which begins tonight at Golden 1 Center. The Kings welcoming in Keldon Johnson and the Spurs. The Purple and Black pregame show, that's with myself and James. That begins at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. But we'll also have a little Kings-Spurs look ahead for you during the show as well. So all that's coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.